We have two readings from the New Testament this morning. The first one is the temptation of Jesus, three temptations. Here's the pretest. Can you name the three temptations? Okay. Can you name one temptation? Anyone, can you name one temptation?
Chocolate.
What was it? Chocolate?
Yeah.
All right, listen for the three temptations.
Luke 4, 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time.
Amen. This is the last of the sermons on the series of the Lord's Prayer. And from Matthew 6, in the familiar King James language. "After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. Well, God, may our lives be yours this day as you feed us with your word and grace. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's in the King James. It's not in most of the recent modern translations. Why? Well, because the earliest manuscripts don't have it. When King James Version was translated in 1611, they didn't have the best manuscripts as we have today. The earliest manuscripts don't have it. And so how did it get into the Bible? Well, there are various theories. The one I like is that it was part of the oral tradition. Now, oral tradition in a pre-literate society is very highly developed. People told stories and repeated the stories. and repeated the story so that when it came time to pass the story on to the next generation, it was intact. What do you do in a dark night when there's no television, no radio, no video games, no computers, no newspapers? What do you do on those long nights of darkness? Well, you sit around the family and you tell stories. And you tell the story again and the story again. You see how that works. And so we know, historians and archaeologists know, that this oral tradition stuff in the pre-literate society was very highly accurate and sophisticated. And so my best take on this is that "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory" was part of that oral tradition that simply didn't make its way into writing until the 4th century. And isn't it beautiful? Don't we love to hear it read? Don't we love to hear it sung, even by non-professionals, amateurs, who get up and sing the Lord's Prayer, and we wait for that last beautiful part? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." This is at the very heart of God. The kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to God alone. These things reside in God's heart. But of course, our temptation is to want to achieve these things. We want to make them happen from our strength, ability, cleverness. So the story of Jesus and the temptation. This is the beginning of Lent. This was read for us this morning. Jesus, after his baptism, now realizes that God has called him into this special role. He's a special person. He goes into the wilderness, does not eat, spends 40 days in prayer and fasting to try to understand, who am I? What does it now mean that I will be God's voice, God's face, God's representation to humankind? And while he is famished and hungry, the tempter appears. The tempter speaks. "Hello, Son of God. I've heard your prayers. You don't think I can hear your prayers as well as God? I know what you're praying. You want to be God's special agent. I'm here to help. This is your lucky day." You want kingdoms? Oh, I've got kingdoms. I've got plenty of kingdoms. The kingdoms are always following what I have to say. What kingdoms do you want? You want Egypt? You want the pyramids? You want the beautiful pictures in Luxor, the art? What do you want? What kingdom do you want? You want the glory of Rome, its roads, its laws, its architecture, its military might? What do you want? You want the hanging gardens of Babylon? Just tell me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, we might have to break a few eggs, you know, to make an omelet. You've got to break a few eggs. But I'll give you the kingdoms. Power? You want power? I know all about power. Power is my middle name. I know the power of the fist. I know with a fist you can change the world. You can do anything you want to do with a powerful fist. Change a stone, bread into stones into bread, whatever it is. Whatever power you want. You want power? I'll give you power. Glory. You want glory? Oh, I know all about glory. People will do anything for glory. Why? I have kings, earthly kings, who kill their own wives for glory. I have kings not only who will kill their own wives, but kill their own children. People will do anything. They will go to any extreme. They will break any rule for glory. People thirst. They have to have it. They have to feel as if they're in control. They have to feel as if other people need to bow down to them, do their bidding. You want kingdoms? You want power? You want glory? This is your lucky day. Do you know what a Stradivarius violin is? You know it's valuable. Probably built in the 1700s. There are about 600 left that we know of in the world. They're worth millions of dollars, each one. Do you know who Joshua Bell is? Joshua Bell is a violinist. He's maybe the greatest violinist. He's 57 years old now, and he directs the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields orchestra. The most beautiful orchestra in the world. Well, there was a writer from the Washington Post newspaper who got the idea of dressing up Joshua Bell in casual clothes and taking his own personal violin, his Stradivarius, that he paid millions of dollars for, and to go into the subway station of Washington, D.C. at morning rush hour, and for Joshua Bell to start playing his Stradivarius violin as people were rushing around, going to work, going to shop, whatever they're going to do. They wanted to see how many people would pause, stop, to listen to the most beautiful music that the world could ever create. Joshua Bell with a Stradivarius violin, free, no cost. Guess how many stopped? It was 100. No, not 100. There were 50. No. There were 10. No. There was one. No. Not a single person paused or stopped to listen to the most beautiful music in the world. All free. You would have thought maybe somebody who knew something about music, I'm sure if our organist were walking by, she would have pulled out her cell phone and she would have called, said to her boss or whoever, cancel all of my appointments. I won't be coming in work today. I would like to think that if I had been there, I would have said to those who were rushing around, going to all these different places, stop. Look. Right before you, you'll never experience anything more beautiful in your entire life. Stop. Look. Listen. Which is in essence what we do as church, isn't it? We have been met by the power and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. The inexpressible gift, the gift that is beyond words, is right before us. And our task is to point, to say, look, listen, receive. It's free. The inexpressible gift. What we believe about this gift is that the future, God's future, is coming to us in the present. That the kingdoms, the power, and the glory, and all of God's gifts, the full course is coming. But right now we get a first course. We get an appetizer. We get a taste. We get just enough of a taste that we know there is nothing else in the world like this. This is part of what happens to us at the table. When we open our lives to God, when we take the bread and the cup, when we remember, we get a foretaste of what is to come. Amen.